people did talk about how they had felt alienated. Their family and friends don't understand why they're eating this way, and they feel so alone. And people cried at some of the stories. They were really emotionally involved. And suddenly I realized, wow, this is impactful. This is important.
Welcome to the Plant-Based DFW Podcast Weekly Show with Dr. Riz and Maya. A show broadcasted from the Dallas-Fort Worth area that focuses on lifestyle medicine. This is the use of evidence-based lifestyle therapeutic approaches, such as a whole food plant-based diet, regular physical exercise, adequate sleep, and stress management to treat, prevent, and oftentimes reverse lifestyle-related chronic diseases that are all too prevalent. Every week, they feature a guest who speaks on one of these lifestyle medicine pillars. This show is for you, the person who is seeking to improve your overall wellness and quality of life. So whether you are driving, walking, or relaxing at home, we hope this show will provide you one more tool for your wellness toolbox. Let's meet today's podcast guest.
Welcome back to another episode. This is Maya Acosta, and this is Plant-Based DFW, episode 136. And in this episode, I'm actually going to begin a series of interviews to share with you that are related to Plant Pure Communities. That is a large organization that I'm part of, where leaders from all over the world, basically a grassroots movement group of leaders, are working to create change in their own communities. Now, what is Plant Pure Communities? Well, it's also known as PPC. The pod network emerged out of a 2015 film called Plant Pure Nation. That's a film, by the way, put together by Nelson Campbell that I often share with people. The film was put together with the goal of creating and supporting a grassroots movement by empowering a network of independent local groups called pods, and to create and promote the benefits of whole food plant-based lifestyle. In November 2016, the Pod Network was transferred from Plant Pure Inc. to being under the umbrella of the nonprofit called Plant Pure Communities. Well, I am part of that organization, and now I'm part of the Pod Advisory Committee under Plant Pure Communities, and I had the pleasure of interviewing the committee members. And I want you to meet today Michelle Tree. Under episode 136, Michelle Tree is basically the creator of Plant Pure. Let me say that part again. Michelle Tree is the pod leader for Plant-Based Living Winnipeg in Canada. And she actually has been part of this organization from early on, and you'll hear this in her interview. She'll share her story of how she got started. And the whole goal of me sharing these interviews is that I want to inspire you to become a leader of this organization, or at least to find a pod near you. So I hope that you enjoy Michelle Tree. She's also an individual who inspired me early on because she has such a nice presence on social media, specifically Facebook. And so I will leave all her links in the show notes, and I hope that you enjoy this episode. So welcome, Michelle.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And thank you for doing this project, Maya. I think this is fantastic.
It's been a pleasure for me to have the opportunity to speak with all the PAC members, because all of you inspire me. And it seems like at the end of every conversation, I'm having chills all over. So I was aware of you as I was getting started as a pod leader as well. And you have been an inspiration for me for quite a while. So to hear your story is going to be like really exciting.
That's awesome. Well, you never know who you can be influencing or who is watching when you're doing things. And never would I have thought that my projects here in Winnipeg and the little group that I was forming would have influence in other parts of the world. So that's amazing to hear.
Before we learn about your plant-based lifestyle, can you tell us what subcommittees you're part of for PAC?
I'm part of two subcommittees. The first subcommittee I'm part of is the network operations. And what that subcommittee is about is getting materials and resources for pod leaders to keep them engaged and just to support them in building their communities and growing them and staying engaged and not trying to alleviate some of the work that comes with being a pod leader and give them the opportunity to grow. Or the other PAC committee, subcommittee I'm on, is the events and news gathering subcommittee that you and I are on together. So it's an events committee where we're existing pod leaders that are having events, we're just leveraging those events and promoting those events, again, sharing them amongst other pod leaders so that they get ideas of the things that they can do, because every pod leader kind of runs their group differently, and just gathering that news so that we can share it across the globe and everyone knows what we're all up to. So they're both really good committees to be on.
They are. I love how the subcommittees have been created and what PAC stands for, because really the PAC committee didn't exist when we both started groups. And so I think that a lot of us can sometimes even experience not only kind of maybe the frustrations of starting the pod initially, but also sometimes burnout, because we take on the entire responsibility. And PAC is really helping to teach you kind of how to build a team, how to pull from the resources that are already available, and then how to learn from leaders like yourself. So I would love to know, what was your experience like in regards to your own food journey, and what motivated you to adopt a plant-based lifestyle?
Yeah, that's a good question, because my food journey is different. Like, everyone has a different way that they've come about it and where they've come from. Basically, growing up, I ate the regular North American type of a diet. My mother made a lot of home-cooked meals, and I drank a lot of milk because I thought it was really good for me, and I was really heavy as a result of it, had a lot of acne and some problems when I was a teenager. So I was always dieting. Like, from the time I was a teenager into my adult years, I was always trying to lose weight. I was always like fixated on that, and really would go on all sorts of diet. I've been on Atkins-type diets. I've been on Weight Watchers and Nutrisystem, and nothing really ever worked for me. And I just really kind of almost thought that it was just my fault. I was just ate too much. I was greedy or pig or whatever, and affected me and my self-esteem and how I was in the world. But what happened was, this is going back to 2007, 2008, I was working for a cancer organization. I was a fundraiser. So I was running events and raising money for a cancer hospital, and just meeting so many people with cancer, all sorts of kinds of cancer. And I was meeting kids and people my age and you know, older people. And, you know, it was across the board. People were getting cancer. And I started really, you know, worrying. You know, you look at the statistics and how they expect the rates of cancer to increase. I started to be concerned about whether I was going to get cancer and how I could avoid it. So I asked those questions. And a lot of people just really weren't giving me any answers. They were saying, oh, we don't know. And who knows? Everything causes cancer. You'd get these weird, you know, kind of responses. And funny enough, I was actually at work and reading a newsletter, and I read an article about how they've pretty much established a link between colorectal and stomach cancer and processed meats. So bacon and luncheon meats and things like that, hot dogs. And so that, to me, I was like, okay, well, that's something I can do. I can just don't eat those things. And I wasn't a huge hot dog eater, but I did eat them. And I went home and I talked to my boyfriend, who's now my husband, and said, told him what I had learned, and said, I just think we should stop eating meat or processed meats. And I didn't know how he was going to react to it. And he was fine. Like, he accepted the information and said, yeah, that makes sense. And you know what? I don't know why we eat things like that anyways. And you know, fine, we'll give up hot dogs. We won't eat bacon. We won't eat lunch and meat. That's okay. So that was good. I really didn't know what his response was going to be. I didn't know if he was going to push back on it or if it would be something I would do on my own. And it wasn't a big deal. I mean, it was a huge part of our life. But it just continued from there. I started, the more you kind of start to look at that information, the more that appears. So I saw a movie, actually, in this Australian movie called Food Matters. And that opened my eyes to like what nutrition does. And, you know, it was just the overwhelming, it wasn't really so much of a vegan movie or anything like that, but it was just showing you what real fruits and vegetables can do for the human body and how people have physical transformations and they can overcome diseases and they can be really healthy and vibrant. And that excited me and attracted me. And it got me thinking a lot more about our food choices. So it wasn't too long after we decided to give up red meat. We decided to give up pork. Chicken, I was a real heavy chicken eater, so it took me a little while longer to give up chicken products. But eventually, the information, the health information, and when you go looking for the health information, the information about how animals are raised starts to come out and appear to you. And as we took it in, we just made adjustments. So over the course of a year, we pretty much gave up all meat and for most animal products. But we, at the end of the year, we kind of were in a place where we were vegetarian in the outside world, vegan at home. So we didn't buy dairy products. We didn't bring them into our house. We didn't buy eggs, but we kept those things in our diet because I was learning something that no one in my family, none of my friends were talking about. I didn't know anyone. I didn't even really know about vegans, really. I didn't know anyone who was doing this. And in order to maintain our social circles, because people were starting to go, whoa, what are we going to do? You're not eating meat. And how are we going to feed you? And how are you going to have dinner with us? And we didn't want to be a pain to our friends and family. We were very low key about it. We didn't really want to talk about it a lot because, you know, as you know, people ask you questions about why are you doing this? And I had the information, but I didn't actually know how to talk about it. It wasn't fluent for me to talk to other people. And I also wasn't telling other people what to do. Some people would say, are you saying what I eat is wrong? And I said, no, I'm just saying we don't want to eat those things. And we've made these decisions. It's complicated. Food is complicated. So we were like that, I would say, for a good 8 years of being vegetarian, pseudo kind of vegan people and eating healthier, eating more fruits and vegetables. There wasn't a lot of vegan products around at that point. Like, we did try a few things. Nothing was really that good. So we learned how to cook and all that kind of stuff. But we did keep cheese up until 2016. I really started to become aware of the dairy industry and also just how we were doing all of this stuff for our health and that how bad dairy was. And that's actually when I saw more documentaries like The Forks Over Knives and Plant Pure Nation and stuff like that. And I, at that point, realized we have to give up dairy. We can't fool ourselves that we're being healthy if we're continuing to eat dairy. And then we decided to give up the oils and all that kind of stuff too. So it all kind of happened, like we went to vegan to whole food plant-based kind of like within that year. So it was a long time, but when we did make the changes, they were fairly quick. But then it was a lot of adjustment as we went along.
I like how you touched on diet culture, and I'm saying diet culture because I'm now becoming aware that a lot of us are targeted when it comes to insecurities about our weight, and this diet culture seems like everyone participates in. So you went from that to working on the end of cancer awareness. Was it prevention as well?
I was a fundraiser. So I was raising money for research and for a cure, but I soon learned that there really is not really a race to get a cure. It's just a race to manage the disease. As I was soon, when you go out there and people run and walk and do all this stuff to raise money, I think they believe in their hearts they're going to cure cancer. And then what it quickly became evident is that they expected cancer rates to rise. And what they expected is it for it to become more of a chronic disease, like something that they can manage. It wouldn't be a death sentence because they were just looking for medicines to keep you going. And my concern at the time and what really it was hard for me is I was like, why aren't we teaching people just to not get it in the first place?
That's
and
right.
If this is a way that people could not get it, then why are we not promoting this? As soon as the information started to become available for me, I didn't last too long doing that job once I learned the information because I was experiencing a lot of pushback. Like, the, you know, a lot of people fundraise to raise money for cancer by selling hot dogs. And so they'd be having hot dog sales and selling pop and chips. And once I knew that, it was difficult. And people weren't, I wasn't ready to educate people. And I was just really unaware of how much people hold on to what they are eating and are so unwilling to change. I was always kind of like really heard the information and I was like, well, that makes sense. And even though I might have liked some foods, the information would influence me enough that I would say, well, I might like eating fried chicken, but since it's so unhealthy for me, also because I can see that I saw pictures of the chickens and how unhealthy and sad and helpless they were, then I didn't want to be a part of it. But it wasn't overnight. And some people watch like a movie like Earthlings or something and they clean out their kitchen the next day and they're vegans overnight. And that's amazing. And for me, it wasn't because I was adjusting from what I thought animal agriculture was, what I thought was healthy, like how many diets I'd been on where chicken was the staple. It was like a chicken and rice diet or something, and maybe a bit of broccoli. And so, you know, I had to make adjustments, and just reading something and knowing it, but then making it part of you or incorporating into your life was a bit more difficult. So, like I said, I didn't last too long in cancer care after I had heard that information, because I didn't feel good about the reason I was getting people to raise money and what they were doing with it. I didn't actually feel like, I thought it just wasn't right for me. So I had moved on from there. I had actually gone, I went to the Humane Society at that point. I love animals and I love dogs, and Humane Society is about dogs and cats mostly. But then at the Humane Society, I had joined a committee called the Farm Animal Welfare Committee. And it wasn't part of my job. It was just a committee that was part of the Humane Society, and I met with them. And that's when I saw movies about chicken production and egg production, and that really opened my eyes, and the dairy industry and all that kind of stuff. So it was a long education that required me to continually gather information and then to incorporate it, like then to come home and make the adjustments and then figure out like, what are we going to eat now? So it's not so easy for people. And some people it is, some people can do it and overnight and good for them. And some people it takes a lot more of a thought process and management of how they can incorporate into their lives. And I was lucky because I had a partner who was with me every step of the way. Every time I told him something, he took it on, and we made all of those adjustments together. So that's not the case either with a lot of women. Mostly they will come home with this information and their husband and their children may say, we're still going to eat meat. Then they have to navigate that. That is another hurdle.
Absolutely. It is difficult. And I still, to this day, know couples like that, where it's typically the female who's gone fully plant-based and then the husband who will eat some of the food that she cooks, but not necessarily eat that way all the time, especially when it comes to eating out or at work.
No, we tied meat to masculinity, which is crazy. But some men feel that it's not manly if they don't eat meat. So it's hard for them too.
You mentioned the documentaries were instrumental in really educating you about what happens with food and why processed foods and the standard American diet are so bad for us. Now, in our pod, one of the events that we would incorporate would be screening some of these educational films and then having a discussion afterwards. So tell us about your group. When did you form your group and what led you to do that?
So like 2016, when I had become vegan, so I was like, I made the decision to become vegan. It was like, I remember because I was on a holiday and it was February 2016. And I said, that's it. No more pizzas, no more, just we're done. And we did try to go to some of the vegan processed foods, like the fake cheeses. And I was eating up some of the fake meats at the time. And I didn't actually feel much better doing that. And I could even tell if I had eaten a lot of that stuff one day, that the next day I was agitated and more likely to just kind of lose my cool. And I didn't like that aspect of myself with my family. And we were having a stressful year because my mother at the time was experiencing some health challenges. She had broken her hip and we had decided to have her move in with us. And so we were incorporating her into our life, and she was not vegan. So there was suddenly milk and cheese and eggs in the fridge again, which, you know, my husband wasn't a fan of it. But I also was saying to him, I can't exactly tell her to eat this stuff rather than eat meat. So I was in the beginning even trying to source like free range and, you know, local meats and things, like trying to get the healthiest products I could for her. But it wasn't working. That wasn't working. And the way I was eating wasn't working. And when I saw a Plant Pure Nation, that was it. Like that was the answer. So that, like seeing the health outcomes, because I still had weight that I wanted to lose. And also looking at my mom at that stage of her life, it became not just about avoiding disease, avoiding a heart attack or avoiding cancer. It was about longevity and being healthy up until the end of your life, which that hadn't been really a consideration at that point. But then I'm like, well, we're getting on, we're in our 40s. Like we have to look to what are we going to be like when we're 75? And so it was important for us, for her to be healthy. And so for her to be more independent, she didn't like being reliant on us. She hated when the beginning, when she had her operation, she had a walker and she really did not like that. And so she really worked hard to move herself past that stage. And I saw that the diet, if we could all get on board with this, it would help everyone. It would help my mental health. Like I said, I was always fixated on my weight and it impacted my self-esteem. And so I saw that it could help and alleviate that on me. It could help my mom's health. My husband was just keen to be healthier and live long and not to have a chronic illness. And so that we were really influenced. And so I just decided that's it. And at the time too, what was really going on in our life was I was kind of feeling really alone and separated from my friends and family. So when we made the decision to go completely vegan and then drop oils and processed foods, I didn't know, like it wasn't working out with my friends. Like our friends and I, we ate together a lot and suddenly we were eating separate meals and making our stuff separately. And I was kind of a little bit angry that they weren't wanting to listen or hear any of the health information or about the animals or anything. I kind of thought they would be more open to it, and people weren't. And they didn't want to change what they ate, and it separated us. It's sad, and it's not unusual. Eating together, a social event like that, is important for us as human beings. And suddenly we were kind of outsiders and we weren't taking part. They were eating foods and talking about how delicious they were. And I was saying, it's not good for you. And nobody wants to hear that. And so I was feeling frustrated and I felt like maybe I needed some new friends. Maybe I needed to be able to talk about this with people who wanted to listen and not feel like I was defending my choices and answering a lot of questions about why I'm eating this or why do I think this and being put on the spot all the time. And so I was complaining to my husband about how we don't have any friends and I want friends. I want to go out more and I want to see people. And he didn't really care. He's like, I got you and dogs and I'm okay. But I wanted social interaction. And the greatest thing about the Plant Pyramid movie for me was right at the end when they said, if you would like to start a community, this is how you do it. And I said to my husband, should I do that? He went, yeah, you should, because this is what you want. If you start this community, you'll meet people. And I went, oh, this is it. This is what I need. And so that was huge for me. Like, it was like this like hand that reached out when I was kind of suffering. And so I'm ever so grateful for that, because when I sent an email and got a phone call and got set up as a group leader, I didn't know exactly how I was going to make this group or get people or whatever, but it opened up something new to me and gave me something exciting to look forward to and a little bit of hope for how it could develop. So when I got that, when I started the group, it was really just, I started a Facebook group. I knew I could do that, right? So I made a name and I put it on Facebook. And then like my food journey, it was a little bit of a slow burn where I started it and a few people would join. I'd get a couple of friends to join and then like Facebook friends, not friends that I knew, but like, you know, just kind of reaching out a little bit online. And I had 100 members or something like that. And that was at the end of 2016. And then in 2017, in the spring, I heard about this vegan market. So it was just a market for crafts and food and whatever. And I inquired about the cost of a booth and it was only like $50 or something. And I said to my husband, I'm going to set up a table. and I don't know what I'm going to do, but I rented a table. I actually bought a table from Costco and I went out and got a green tablecloth. And then I made this sign and I took all my cookbooks and the things that I had been, you know, the information I've been gathering, all the educational materials. And I just laid out all of my stuff on this table. Like that was kind of it. It was really simple, but it looked colorful because my tablecloth was bright and my sign was bright and I wore a bright outfit. And I showed up at this market and I just kind of stood there and waited for people to come up. And a lot of people walked by like, what's going on here? People would come and pick up the books and say, well, how much is this book? I'd say, oh, no, that's not for sale. It's just like, it's my book and just want to talk about food. And it was a little odd. I made a couple of handouts and like my top 5 comfort foods and a list of books that you can get from the library and things like that. But I did have people who would see the sign and make a beeline for me. And they were the people who had seen movies like Forks Over Knives and Plant Your Nation and knew what it was. And that day was fantastic because it was the first day where I spent once I got rolling, once somebody was at my table, they'd probably stick around for 20, 30 minutes, an hour. Maybe we would chat about food and the movies and doctors and their health story and other people's transformations. And I left that market feeling really excited. I got about 50 new members and I had met them in person. And I was like, wow, that was a breakthrough for me. So that was the beginning. I felt like that's when my group started, was that day.
I like what you just said, which was really you needed the support because you found that as you were improving your diet, eating better and making those lifestyle changes, your friends were kind of, ooh, or your social world was kind of leaving you a little bit. You almost had to create a new support system, a new group of friends that were like-minded that could also buy into this way of living because it is a lifestyle. It's not just about nutrition. It's our philosophies regarding how nutrition plays a role in everything, climate,
that's right,
animal ethics and all that stuff. You know, what sort of events did you hold for your group and which ones did you find were like the most engaging for your community?
My first event that I put on was a potluck. So, and that was at the request of through the Facebook group and people interacting, people started saying, so when are we going to get together? So are we going to have a potluck or something? And I was like, oh, I guess I should find a place and do this. And luckily one of the members, she worked for the city and she had a line to, had a way of getting rentals and getting us a little bit of a discount. And she offered that to me, and which was terrific. And so she booked an event in a community center, just a regular community center, nothing fancy. And I announced it. And you know how Facebook events are, right? Like a lot of people will say they're going and it's not a huge commitment. They click a button and maybe they show, maybe they don't, right? So I remember being really nervous about this potluck and thinking, how many people are going to show up? Will I get 5 people or 10 people? I really don't know how this is going to go. But I went out, I went to the dollar store and got some tablecloths. And I had a little bit of an event kit that I made up because you kind of need some things. So my little kit that I made up was tablecloths and notepaper, because I told everyone that they'd have to write the list of ingredients down, put beside their dish in case there's any allergies and people want to avoid certain foods. And then I needed to provide all that stuff for people. And everybody was to bring their own plates and had soap and stuff so they could wash their plates and take their stuff home, and brought extra serving utensils. And so I had my little Tupperware bin of kit and went off to this community center very nervous. And where I expected maybe 10 or 12 people, I actually got 25 people showed up. So, you know, I had to quickly find an extra table for the food. So we had 3 full tables of food, which was amazing. And everybody was like oohing and aahing over the food and all of that kind of stuff. And so we sat down and one of the best meals that we had had in so long, because we were only just eating at home by ourselves at that point, eating what we made. So it's like all of a sudden you have so many things that you can eat and you want to try everything. And, you know, when you're going up for a second, there's tons of food. And of course, everybody's really full and it was really neat. And we had tables set up and people were starting discussions. And I had recognized some people from my Facebook group already. And it was really cool. And then what I found was what I learned right away from that first potluck. This is very important, I think, will be for a lot of groups. And I didn't expect it. I really didn't know. But I was like, oh, I guess I should get up and say something. Like, you can't just like let people eat and like, what's happening now? You're done eating. And I'm like, I guess I should get up and talk. And I was kind of nervous and got up and thanked everyone for coming and talked a little bit about Plant Pure and Nation and the movie and the organization and that we're part of it. And then I said, why don't we go around the room and just introduce ourselves? And each person can just say why they became whole food plant-based and just their name and whatever. And I just figured it'd be a quick little whip around the room. And the first person who got up, basically got up and then had this story, wasn't just like, oh, I became whole food plant-based this day and then that's it. It was like, this was my story and why I became and how it's transformed my life or how it's impacted my health. And then that set the tone. So then the next person got up and then they had their story. And I remember at first thinking, I don't know if this is going to go over well. Like maybe some people won't like this because it's too much. Like it's like an AA meeting. Like everybody's kind of like unloading their stuff. But as the stories went on, and some were amazing, like some people had amazing health transformations and people did talk about how they had felt alienated from their family and friends don't understand why they're eating this way and they feel so alone. And people cried at some of the stories. They were really emotionally involved. And as that started unfolding in the room, and everybody, they turn and everybody give all their attention to that person and all their support, suddenly I realized, wow, this is impactful. This is important. And once we were done, everyone in that room was linked. You know, that emotional experience and understanding of each other and knowing something about each other's lives, really, you could feel it. And I remember my husband, he had to like do all the packing up and breaking down the case, but other people jumped in. There was quite a few husbands there that had been dragged along by their wives. And I just stood there, and person after person approached me and just said how much this meant to them and how badly they needed it and how they were looking to meet people. And so it wasn't just me. Like, I was on a high. Like, I left there feeling good and fulfilled, and like I did something that had meaning. And so that was it. So potlucks were my staple. Pretty much had potlucks once a month, and they were very popular always. Like, the first one was 25 people. We had to keep getting bigger rooms within that community club. And the, you know, maximum room had 40 people or something. And we got to that maximum pretty quickly. And so I would announce potlucks on my Facebook group, and within an hour, they'd be full and there'd be a waiting list. And then people would be complaining to me about how they couldn't get into these potlucks because they were so popular. So that was one of our main events. But we did soon enough, because people wanted to socialize, they started becoming not just a group, but a friend circle. And Winnipeg's not a huge city. And a lot of these people were vegan as well. And so we started seeing each other at other events too. And then there was a lot of crossover with our group too. Some people would come that were animal activists. Some people, you know, they were just starting on this lifestyle, and maybe they were even still eating meat, but they were starting to form these friendships and they wanted other events. And that's when I got onto the Plant Pure restaurant program. And I was able to find a restaurant and get them Plant Pure certified. There was, it was a vegan plant-based restaurant, and she did have oil-free dishes. And we organized with her to, after hours, after her restaurant was closed on a Saturday, we would have meetups there. So then we were having restaurant meetups. And then we did some other events together. Like, I did have a couple of walks. If there was something going on in the city that was maybe vegan orientated, sometimes a group of us would go together. So potlucks was my staple. And then I just kind of added in other events that wherever people could get together and socialize, because they were asking for it. They wanted to be together.
You weren't able to enjoy your favorite foods with your loved ones because they weren't really drawn to that way of living. So now you're building like the sense of community by actually sharing good food together. And I love going to potlucks as well.
Me too. And potlucks have a reach. This is what I was thinking about today. And I remembered noticing this as we went along too. They have a reach and a benefit outside of the actual event. So after every potluck, because everybody, they were just be so excited about the food, and they would all, everybody would be taking pictures of their plates and taking pictures of all the food. And me, like, with my background, I have a background in photography. So everyone knew the drill. Like, once everyone was in and all the dishes were out, then I had to go along and I took a photo of every single dish, because then I posted them afterwards and everybody would post their recipes in the comments, because inevitably everybody's like, well, I remember it. I want to try that dish. That was amazing. Now, who made this and who made that? So I would post it, tag the person who made it. But the people in the group were able to share, whether it was my photos or their photos, on their own pages. And then their friends and family would suddenly see these posts of all this delicious looking food. And they would say, oh, I went to another potluck last night with my plant-based group. And I just love these potlucks and the food's so amazing. And then you would see in their personal pages that their friends and family would go, oh, wow, like, how do I get involved? How could I come to one of these potlucks? Like, they might not be vegan and anything, but they, the food, it started enticing them a bit. Like, it opened it more than what most people, like the closed-minded, think about, like what our lifestyle is going to look like and what our food is going to look like. People went all out at the potlucks. Like, it became a little bit of like, you got to bring your best. You don't want to have a dish that nobody's taking from. You want the dish that's cleaned out right away. And everybody's going, who made that? It's amazing. So I felt like everybody really went above and beyond. And especially when we did our holiday potlucks, like our Thanksgivings and our Christmas potlucks, people would make, like, they would make the best thing they could make. So it came across in the pictures and the videos and things that I made, and that people could share that outside of the group. And then that also started conversations for them. So it had a little bit of a reach outside of our community in that way. Yeah. So Publix are great.
So every time we have these conversations where we're talking about how things come together, I think, well, if our listeners want to either join a pod that already exists in their area or start one, how would they start? And it sounds like, you know, I've talked about my connection with a local library and the support that I had from that end. It sounds like you had support on your end with people kind of helping you to spread the word.
Yeah. And every time we outgrew, like we did outgrow our community club facility that we're using. And then I put it out there to the group. And then the group members, they would either look for other facilities for me or use their connections. And we were able to go to other places to have potlucks too. And some people even opened their homes to potlucks. So last summer, we were able to have a potlucks in a friend's backyard. And so once I put it out there and asked for help, they participated, right? And I even had people participating for 2 or 3 years before like COVID happened. We had a big veg fest in this city and I had volunteered to do their photography and videos and everything for the first 3 years that they were up and running. But I also rented a table for Plant-Based Living Winnipeg. And I was really busy at the event because I was taking pictures and taking videos and I was part of the committee. And sometimes I was helping speakers or introducing speakers. And so I couldn't be at the table and I would just reach out to my group and I would have a team of 10 or 8 people and they would come and do shifts and stand. And with my array of cookbooks and Dr. Esselstyn's book and Dr. Gregor's book and whatever, and they would talk about this lifestyle to other people. And I think they really enjoyed it too. And then it became a little meeting place for our group at the event. And the members, they were happy to get involved and step up. It is on you and it can feel like a lot, like when you're a pod leader. And I have 2 amazing friends in the group who've been right from the beginning. They've just been like my besties. We met and then we started a little Facebook Messenger conversation and I probably talk to them every single day. And they're my moderators on the Facebook group. And they also post, they make a point of posting and sharing information and answering questions and stuff. So there is help within your group. You don't have to do it by yourself. You can, then you will get burnt out.
Such a good point that you mentioned that we can experience burnout if we do not ask for help. And the more events we do, the more we attract the people that have heard the message and want to be part of a community like yours. Now, you did say that it was, you had watched other documentaries, you were reading, you were researching, you learned about this lifestyle, but it was Plant Pure Nation that really kind of shook you to take action and create your pod. So now that you are a pod leader, what do you enjoy most about being part of Plant Pure communities?
Well, the community, my friends. I think almost my entire social circle now comes from my community. That has just enhanced my life in a way that, like I said, I was really down before I started this group. I was actually, I would say, going through a little bit of a depression at that time because the separation from my friends and not really knowing like how in your 40s, I made all my friends in school and when I was young and starting out in jobs, like how did I go about making new friends? Now everybody's got their friends. And that it brought all of that into my life. I mean, all ages, all ranges. I find the people that are attracted to this lifestyle are exceptional people because they are people who are very thoughtful, people who are open-minded and who are willing to change when they hear new information. That's not a quality that you find in other people. So the fact that I was able to connect with such a large group of people, and it gave me a purpose in my community. I was changing careers. I didn't really know what I was doing with my life at that stage. I kind of felt a little bit lost at the beginning. And just being part of Plant-Based Living Winnipeg and Plant Pure communities, it gave me some purpose. It's exciting to talk to other people. I feel good that I'm lucky because of Plant Pure. In the first year, when I started my group, because I felt like I needed the information, like I said, I was learning things, but I didn't know how to actually speak about food education. I purchased the eCornell Plant-Based Nutrition Program and took that in that first year. And then later on, I actually applied for the scholarship for that program and was able to gift it to one of my moderators because she wanted to take the program and she was involved in the group and helping, and it is kind of pricey. And since I'd already done it, I was really excited that they allowed me to share it in that way. So that was a tremendous opportunity. Like being part of the Plant Pure Nation and Plant Pure communities is, it affords you these extra benefits and opportunities. And then last year, or even 2 years ago now, I took the masterclass with Dr. Clapper, so the Moving Medicine Forward that is for doctors and clinicians. It was offered to the pod leaders to get the program at a bit of a discount, and I jumped on it, and it was an amazing value. And I feel like, you know, it just accelerated my learning about plant foods and education, and then my ability to help others has increased. So that's added a lot to my life.
It's nice to know that we're part of a bigger organization that's worldwide. There are a lot of resources on the Plant Pure Community's website, especially like if you want to get started with restaurant campaigns like what you were working on, Michelle. There's information on the website on how you can approach restaurants and try to get them to provide at least one plant-based meal that's salt, oil, and sugar-free. Now, let's talk about last year and how life changed for both of us, for all of us during the pandemic. We've talked in the past how we had a list of things that we expected to do 2020 since we've been on this role of really creating support for our communities. How was your group affected and what does the future look like for your group?
Well, so the last month before the shutdown, we had 5 events and we had one of our largest potlucks ever. We had moved to another location. We had just moved again. And I had 75 people show up for our last potluck, which was a week before our shutdown. And we didn't see it coming. I did have an inkling because I remember at that potluck, I had to, again, recruit people in my group to help because it was 75 people was a lot to handle at a potluck. And so I had a couple people sitting at the door the whole time because we take a couple of dollars donation from everyone to pay for the rental. And also, we wanted to know exactly who was in the room. We wanted to, you know, when it got to be that many people, I didn't know every single person because I opened it up and it wasn't just the regulars that were coming to that one. It was people who we hadn't seen before. And so we recorded everyone's name just in case. And I remember because I started wondering. And then also that week, like that was on a Saturday. And then on that Tuesday, we as a group, it wasn't my event, but I was part of it. Dr. Greger had been invited back to Winnipeg. He had been in Winnipeg a couple of years before and my group had attended. Not that it was my event, but we attended a bunch of our members. But it was a private event for a law firm. And I found out that Dr. Greger was coming to town and I called this law firm and asked how we could get our group in there. And they were happy to let me come and set up a table and promote, sell tickets to my members. And so we had a lot of people from our group came and it was fantastic. We were all there together. We all got pictures with Dr. Greger. He's so great. And we all went out afterwards, you know, to socialize. And it was really going to be a good year. And then that was on a Tuesday. And by Friday, the Prime Minister came out and said, everybody stay at home and we're shutting these borders down. And that was wild. And so at first I was kind of okay for a second because it seemed like it was going to be temporary, right? Like who knew it was going to be this long? They were talking a few weeks to flatten the curve, right? And I just thought, you know, this is okay. That potluck for 75 people, that was a lot of work. A bit more anxiety about that event. I remember thinking, you know what, I could use a break. I'm on a lot of committees. I'm on some animal committees and I do spread myself thin sometimes. And I thought, I don't mind taking a break from all of these things at the time. But as the year wore on, oh, what a disappointment. Because then we did, like I said, my group did get together a few times last summer outdoors in a friend's backyard. It was a private thing. I didn't advertise it or anything because it was a bit of an iffy. I didn't know if it was the right thing to do or we were careful and we had COVID protocols. But over the winter, we've done nothing together. We've maintained some socializing online and I have met some of my members for walks and we've done a few little things, but mostly we weren't able to gather. And that took a big part of our life away. And not just for me, I think for everyone. I think members have reached out to me multiple times throughout the year, just how much they miss the group and how they can't wait to get back together and potlucks and anything that I plan, they want to be on the invite list and that kind of thing. So COVID really affected us in a huge way. So I went from thinking, oh, good, a little break, to thinking, oh, when is this ever going to end? And when are we going to get back together? And how much I miss the group. So I think for me, it's been good because maybe I was at that stage of a little bit of burnout. Maybe that was the right time for me to take a step back. But now I'm so eager to rebuild. I'm seeing it as an opportunity to reinvent the group, maybe to take it to some places that it hasn't before. and being involved with the pack is perfect timing because, like you said, learning about other leaders and what they're doing and talking to each other, I'm starting to get excited. I've seen a lot of leaders have done a lot of online stuff in this last year. I did not. This is all new for me, being on camera. I'm the person usually holding the camera and taking pictures of other people or making videos. I don't put myself in front of the camera. So this is me challenging myself and taking a risk and putting myself out there because it's not entirely comfortable, but maybe I need to do this at this stage. So I'm looking to plan some online events. I'm looking to diversify the kind of events and the kind of outreach that we have. And then just branching out in other ways, like the ways that Plant Pure does in reaching out politically, taking more of an interest in what's happening in our community as a whole, not just the community as a group, because that's important too. And I think as the leader of this group and as part of Plant Pure communities and being an international organization, I could have a voice if I want it. So I'm challenging myself this year to use it a little bit more and use my food education and experience in being a leader to get out there and either bring more people into this lifestyle or maybe some influence, some change in what's happening in my city and my province.
So now, are you guys still experiencing restrictions in Canada?
Yes. Just like how in the States, you're going by state, like you're restricted by what happens in your own state. We are by province. And our province, we were shut down for a long time, seemed longer than some other provinces, but not everybody. I mean, other provinces have had their difficulties too. And they alleviated us a little bit. Like our vaccinations are starting to ramp up. We're starting to get people vaccinated. And so they've allowed us to see our friends and family outside, 5 people at a time, which isn't a lot, but it's more than it was. We couldn't even go to someone's backyard and talk to someone in their backyard for I don't know how long. And so I haven't seen so many people. And everybody's different. Everyone has a level of comfort with COVID, whether they're feeling like, I think all that shutdown and wearing masks and stuff has got people nervous. Maybe they're only socializing with their family right now and they're not really reaching out to their friends. Some people are, they're willing to go out with other people. And so there's all of that to navigate. But as we're slowly kind of getting the ball ready, rolling on the vaccines, and also, you know, it's summertime and we can be outside a lot. So we're certainly not at the stage where we're having indoor gatherings. There's no events or anything to plan, but we're going to start having some things. I'm planning some walks. I'm planning an outdoor potluck. I'm planning a couple little meetups and things that people, we can go and get some takeout and sit in a park or something just to start seeing people again and kind of seeing who's ready to come back. Like who's ready to meet up again and how we're going to navigate this, but it's not over, unfortunately.
There is light at the end of the tunnel.
I really hope that other people feel the way I do. I really hope that we all have learned to value each other and real world interactions. Like I don't want to Zoom meet my friends and family anymore. I want to see them in person. I want to hug them. And I hope that when we come back together, it'll almost be more meaningful. Like we can connect on a real human level and we can actually realize that, especially where we are right now, especially what's going on in the world and climate change and everything that's happening to us, is that we need each other more than ever.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that maybe our potlucks and our events and things like that, they'll have a lot more meaning to them.
I agree with you. And taking care of our health is even more important than ever before. And just letting the public know that there are a lot of resources that are available. I identify with you in terms of having like experienced that burnout last year, right before COVID. And so now I'm kind of like easing into things. But even then, I don't have the facilities available like I did before. So it's starting from scratch. It's like starting brand new again, trying to reach out to people that can be part of my team and support me because I don't want to do it all on my own anymore. It's just so much work.
There's probably people in your group who are dying to have stuff to do or dying to get more involved. And it is hard to find them because like, I think there's a certain type of person, like you, it does take a time commitment. And you do get some people who might say they want to help, but then they're not, when it comes down to it, they don't really want to put in a lot of time or whether they have certain skills. But I think if you just continually reach out, you will gather those people. And like I say, I sort of see it as a reinvention time. I think it's almost like I'm beginning again right now. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
That's okay. And so if people are interested in learning more about your group, can you share with us like your website, your Facebook group, and social media, anything that you have for us?
Yes. So Plant-Based Living Winnipeg is my group. And our website is Plant-Based Winnipeg, like the short version of Winnipeg, which is WPG. So plantbasedwpg.com. And you can find us on Instagram. And I've got a Facebook page. Don't have a lot of people on my Facebook page because I'm really active mostly in the group. So you got to join our group, which is private. But if you type it in, you'll find it. And that's how you meet other people and interact and share the information. And when I organize potlucks and things, again, that's the only place I ever could advertise them, is because they filled up so quick. So I couldn't really put them on Instagram and out in the public. But you can find us pretty easily on it. I even have a Twitter account. I don't do a lot with it, but Instagram and Facebook for sure, and our website. And you can sign up. I have an email letter newsletter list, which I haven't actually put a newsletter out, but I've been reading all of your newsletters and other pod leaders' newsletters. And so that's another way I'm challenging myself, is I'm going to have a newsletter this year and putting it out regularly for the people who aren't on social media, but still want to keep in touch with what we're going on. And then they can always find me on those websites and they can always email me too.
And is there like a final message or anything else that we might have not covered that you would like to share with our listeners?
I think the final message is, like you say, health is more important than ever. I thought that when COVID started, honestly, I thought this is it. This is going to change everything. Everyone's going to realize you got to get that meat out of your diet. You got to get healthy. You got to eat fruits and vegetables. And especially when the whole food plant-based doctors were coming out and saying, you know, in a way to avoid those core morbidities or whatever, like, you know, like what the people who are ending up in the hospital, the people that already have diabetes and already have heart conditions. And if you want to avoid those things like type 2 diabetes and heart disease, whole food plant-based diet is the way. So I had thought for a second that that would be the message. I honestly thought that our government, instead of just telling people to stay home and stay away from each other, would be saying, you know, now's the time to eat healthy. What sadly happened is I think people ate more fast food this past year than ever before. People I talk to have gained weight. Almost everyone I know has said, oh, I put on this many pounds because they were sitting at home. They weren't seeing people. Health is all you have. And at the end of the day, like I said, when, you know, right from the beginning, when I started this group and started this lifestyle, is because I saw that I didn't want to end up with a chronic illness, but I also want to be healthy into my 70s and 80s. I want to be like Dr. Esselstyn and Anne Esselstyn. They're, you know, 87 years old and they're loving life and they exercise and they're independent and they're out there and just a total inspiration. And that's what I want to be. And that's who you want to be too. And so I think the message is that you can have that through food, and it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter your economic status. It doesn't matter where you live in the world. You know, rice and beans are cheap, and, you know, grow your own vegetables, do whatever you can do, and just stay away from those processed foods and eat healthy. And it will radiate through you in all sorts of ways. It will help you. You'll feel better. You'll look better. And you'll just have a longer and happier life. So that's my message.
That is a wonderful message. Thank you for those words of encouragement. And thank you again, Michelle.
Thank you, Maya. This is fantastic. I love this interview process, and I'm so happy.
You've been listening to the Plant-Based DFW podcast show. If you like our content, please like, share, and leave a review. Our goal is to provide quality episodes to help support the community.